Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
Good evening and welcome to Signs of Life Radio. Tonight we bring you a special broadcast live from the site of our 10th anniversary convention and 8th annual Afterlife Conference in Durham, North Carolina. The sponsor of our conference is Starseed Gems, and we are grateful for their support of our conferences each year now for the past 3 years. Please check out their very special work at starseedgems.com. And now I turn the show over to our Signs of Life Radio host, Bob Ginsberg.
Well, as Fran mentioned, we're at our conference, and before we get started, we have several of our presenters here, Dr. Carlos Alvarado, Dr. Nancy Zangroni, the president of the Forever Family Foundation, Lloyd Auerbach, and we have a multitude of excellent certified mediums. We have, going from my left to right, Rebecca Ann LoCicero, Kathy Nadal, Janet Mayer, Bobby Allison, Laura Lynn Jackson, and Angelina Diana. So we have a great group. And I thought it might be fun to explore some of the things that we talk about, and we could talk about it both from a science perspective and a mediumistic or experiential perspective. And a good place to start, because we've all heard it, a lot of people, when they talk about mediumship, one of the arguments is that the mediums are receiving information psychically about the sitter, as opposed to communicating with somebody in spirit, a discarnate entity, and how can they tell the difference? But maybe I could start from the science side. Is that a problem in the research for people that study mediumship to differentiate psychic information versus mediumistic information? Well,
that has been an issue from the very beginning of systematic studies of mediumship. You know, in fact, the idea started not only with the psychical researchers, but spiritualists themselves. You will find many discussions of that idea from the 1850s on, in which spiritualists were convinced that the dead could communicate through mediums. We're saying, yeah, but on occasion, the thoughts of the seer will reach and contaminate the communication.
Right. So, yeah, and mediums. Now, I've spoken to many of you individually, and you all have different explanations. The consensus seems to be that you can tell the difference because, in some way, the information that you get has a different feel to it, whether you know it's from somebody that's no longer in the physical or in the physical. I think, Laura Lynn, you describe it more like a screen, right?
Yeah, for me it's very different. I get a widescreen TV that goes on in my mind, and it's very distinct. The left-hand side of my screen is my psychic information, and it has a very different feel, and the right-hand side is my mediumship, and I can see people step in on that side of the screen, and when I switch over there, it's a very, very different feel. Psychic information on my left-hand side is more like I'm retrieving information. It's a pulling. And mediumistic information, when it comes in on the right, it's more a receiving. I'm just sitting back and listening, and it flows in. So for me, it's very easy to tell which side, and it feels distinctly different.
Now, I've had mediums say to me, when I try to point out that we're only interested in the mediumistic side, and we know that psychic ability is real, but that's not our purpose, and they'll say to me, well, all psychic information comes from spirit. What would you say to that, Angelina?
I wouldn't agree with that. I think psychic is more of a perception, where spirit is a reception. You're receiving the essence of someone, and they give you information of a life experience. I think when it comes to psychic work, it's more of an invisible sensation of where they may go according to the person's free will. So it feels more grounded to the physical world when it's psychic.
I can add just a little context to this, too. If you are getting an email from somebody, most people cannot put emotion into that, can't put personality into that. That's different than actually talking to the person live.
Right.
Big difference.
Yeah. I know that the explanation that everybody is, it's just a simple retrieval of information from an Akashic field or some field. But it's always difficult to imagine. I can understand retrieving data,
right?
But I can't understand retrieving a personality,
right?
From
right.
You know, so, and
it's retrieving the information, like you're getting the whole download of the biography, and you're now kind of reconstructing the personality to provide that information as a construct for that. So that's very different than just getting information.
One of the things that we get asked about a lot is whether people in the spirit world feel an attachment to the physical, and whether that explains hauntings, you know, and ghosts, and you get different answers. I guess you might have an opinion, you know, because of the investigative work that you do. And do you think that that's the explanation for ghosts? And, you know,
when we have people speaking with the ghosts in some of these places, the ghosts. And we get witnesses who tell us that these apparitions, sometimes they have unfinished business. We hear a lot of, you know, they have unfinished business, they don't know that they're dead, they have an attachment to places or to people, and it's all of those. It just depends on the individual. People are people, whether they're living or dead. And they're not people, though, that have gone to the other side. So they're not necessarily in the spirit world. They're effectively still here, or as much here as we are in that sense. At least that's their perception of what's going on. We have to send them to the other side, in which case you almost never hear from them again, except for some of the mediums.
We
don't hear from them again.
As mediums, do you ever get the sense when you're communicating with somebody that they're so-called stuck, you know, that they're sort of asking you for assistance?
Personally, I don't get that, no. I mean, I don't feel like they may be a little stuck or they may need some help, but no, I normally, if they're coming to me, I feel like there's a reason. So that's how I am.
In a lot of the communication that I have, the deceased is still very much with the family members, and that's the very live presence through their love, and the communication that comes through in a reading is they're very present in their lives. So it's not that they're stuck, but that they have never really left, and it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. You have something to add, Rebecca?
Well, because when I hear about this and I think about, you know, as far as being stuck or not, I fall into this belief that there's no time on the other side. So when they were stuck or when they weren't stuck or when they're with us or when they're not with us doesn't seem to have a place in my work with the words when. It just is already there. So if I'm receiving from spirit or if I know that there's a spirit in the home or something, I always dive into that whole, well, if there's no time in that dimension, then it's difficult to debate what's going on. I do agree. They are always with us. And I think that it's just a matter of when we're in our time and space ready to connect with them, they have no time and space. They are already connecting with us. So the mediumship comes in perfectly because we become that interacting resource between the physical and the non-physical. Mm-hmm. So the haunting part is hard for me. I know it's there. I've seen it. But I often think, you know, when I'm crossed, I have a lot of places I want to go. I'm not sure I'm going to haunt anywhere. But I don't know that because there's no time over there. So maybe I'll haunt something at the same time I'm over here visiting my relatives. It's debatable.
Yeah. Nancy, I had a question. I've noticed among mediums that there are sometimes, you know, physical and mental traumas, you know, at some point, you know, whether childhood or whatever. I mean, does the research support that the emotional trauma or physical trauma might be a trigger for psiability?
For some folks. We were talking the other day about a study that a colleague of ours in Brazil did with spiritist mediums that go through a lot of training. And the kind of secular psychiatrists in the society around think, oh, well, they're going there because there's something wrong and they've experienced something terrible, and maybe they really should be going to the hospital. And when they do a study of the people that are in the schools, they find that there is experience of abuse in some people, and there are mental distresses caused by learning that you have the ability, and then what do we do with it? But the percentage of people that have those things in that community of spiritist mediums, it's not any bigger than it is in the general public. Mm-hmm. And they're actually finding that as they go through the training, they don't go to the psychiatrist as much as the folks in the general public. They don't feel the need. They don't need the medication. They're in a context where their ability is appreciated, and the meaning is being, you know, kind of, they're finding meaning in what they're doing. They're working with people like that. So it's actually a way for that small percentage of people who do have distress to alleviate it without having to get into the whole medical scene. So that's kind of interesting, I think.
We're going to go to a break. We come back, we're going to have a lot more to talk about. Stay with us, and we'll be back in a few.
Starseed Gems Studios in Cocoa, Florida fuses cremation ashes within art glass, making beautiful stones. The ashes are visible in the darkness and resemble a beautiful night sky. Starseed Gems, developed by the parents of a young man who passed away, are set in hand-sculpted silver and gold settings. Prices start at $150. Visit www.starseedgems.com or call 321-632-7770. That's www.starseedgems.com or 321-632-7770.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
Perhaps you have heard that there is scientific evidence of an afterlife, but you are confused. Plan to attend a landmark convention in Durham, North Carolina, November 8th and 9th, and let's clear up that confusion. Let an esteemed group of scientists from prestigious universities and institutions show you the way. This will be a gathering of the top organizations that have been researching afterlife evidence for decades, all coming together for the first time. Whether you want to learn about reincarnation, mediumship, apparitions, deathbed visions, near-death experiences, or phone calls from the dead, this is the place to be. The weekend will also include demonstrations of spirit communication by Forever Family Foundation certified mediums. Click on the events page at our website, foreverfamilyfoundation.org, to learn more about the conference weekend and the many additional events before and after the conference. Or call 631-425-7707 for more information.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you could find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
And welcome back to Signs of Life Radio. We're having a party here in Durham, North Carolina. We have scientists, we have researchers, we have mediums. what do you want to know? I tell you what I'd like to know is that, so now Lloyd has a lot of experience in paranormal investigations, and he often is accompanied by a medium on the investigation.
Right.
So is the what role does the medium play in your investigation?
The medium has two potential roles. One is as the best piece of equipment I could possibly bring in a case.
Right.
Certainly a lot better than any of the equipment you see on the ghost hunting shows. And the other is if there is somebody there to communicate. To be the medium, the intermediary, and help us decide, you know, find out what's going on, get some information verifiable if possible, and to help that person if they need help, to direct them if they need help, that, or just to kind of deal with the situation.
Yeah. Otherwise. Well, does the medium, do you find, as let's say they're walking through the site, have hot spots, for lack of a better term, or do they say, well, something's going on in this particular area?
It depends partly also on whether the medium has that psychic ability to pick up on kind of place memory, the recorded information that's in the place, because that's a lot of what we deal with also. And they have to distinguish if there's somebody conscious or if there's just kind of a recording of somebody who used to live there.
Right. What about our mediums? Have you walked through places? I mean, I'll ask you, Bobby. Have you ever walked through a place and say, well, there's something going on here? I sense...
Mm-hmm. Of course I have. I did walk through at the Douglaston Manor for one of the episodes they did of the Witchy Wedding, and you could feel everything there, but they had me there for that reason.
Right.
And it was quite, I wouldn't say haunted, but it was definitely lots of spirits hanging out there, and they wanted to be known.
Right, so it's not anybody, any particular entity that's communicating with you. It's more of a
whoever was hanging in the house or on that property.
Right.
Absolutely.
Okay. How about some of our other mediums?
I've done quite a few. I did The Chance, which is a rock and roll club in Poughkeepsie, New York, and I was able to pick up a significant fire that had happened, plus also... speaking about a previous owner of the Chance and going through particular information about that owner that only certain individuals knew about. So that was validated as well. And I've also done a lot of work with the in Buffalo, New York. There's a paranormal group, which is out of the Iron Island Museum, which is now a museum, but was originally started as a funeral parlor. So there's a lot of information that's actually, I feel, like Lloyd said, there's imprints of the past, imprints of people, and there's, in a way, recorded, kind of in a way, messages left behind. And I think that's the role of the medium, is to go ahead with the paranormal group and be able to validate information that either people in the neighborhood knew, people that were very close to the situation knew, or maybe information that no one really knows that can be then further researched.
Right. So things like this, like place memory, you know, it's not evidence of survival. You know, it's you're not communicating with a discarded entity.
No, the question you ask is it live or is it Memorex?
Right.
yeah, exactly.
And I'm old enough to remember that.
Yeah. I'm in Connecticut, so there's a lot of old territories there, and there's this one town, Coventry, and there's one of those forests that's protected, and I had gone in there with some authorities to look for some things that might have been missing, and in no way did I think that by walking on this, you know, old military grounds in this military area would I come across an area that was a haunted area, and I kept looping around while we're trying to do this investigation, and I kept coming across this old gentleman who kept pointing down to the ground, and so I finally said to them, I said, you know, I can't ignore the fact that there is a spirit here that keeps pointing down to this one area, like, this is important. Let's dig. And the joke at the end of it all is we actually dug up this very old licensed tractor. So we went into the person's yard and let them know. They were like, we've been looking for this tractor for like 30 years. My great-grandfather buried this tractor. So I look at that like that is definitely a haunting. That guy could not wait till a medium walked by, and he was literally pointing down to what the family had been looking for. Of course, it helped us nowhere in what we were working on.
Right.
But that, to me, was like a haunted place. He was definitely standing there waiting, and in a lot of ways, the family had even said, you know, we always felt drawn. We've dug many holes out here looking for this. We can't believe you found it. So sometimes I think the haunting is legitimate. Like, their spirit is really trying to get you to figure out what it is that's going on, what it is that happened, even if it's just that one more piece of information. I think that that's an incredible connection.
Yeah. One of the things I'm curious about is that a lot of people, non-medium people, people that don't do it professionally anyways, they're the most common form of after-death communication they get is dream visits. They'll have a dream, and their deceased loved one, you know, will come to them. Do mediums get dream visits?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. I think it's a part of just being a griever. You know, mediums grieve too, and I think that I don't feel, you know, my mom's on the other side, and I don't feel it's any easier for me to communicate with her just because I'm a medium. You know, separating the waves of grief versus just being that microphone to the other side, so to speak. That's kind of like how I categorize the work
right.
I do.
But what about a non-family member? Does a client ever come to you in a dream? I have a great story
if I could just share,
yeah.
You know, just within my family. After my mother crossed over 10 years ago, and I took care of her. She's very sick with cancer, and my mother and I, we were very similar. We talked spiritually in the same tone, so we understood, oh, she's going to a great place. And so after she crossed, I didn't grieve. I was like, she's in a good place. I have three sisters and a brother, and they would be calling me up every week. Yeah, heard from Mom in a dream. Yeah, she visited me here. What a medium you are. Didn't hear from Mom. You know, they're like making fun of me. And I'm like going, Mom, what's going on? I don't get it, you know. Then my sister Vicky called me, who I think is more mediumistic and amazing. She calls me and goes, heard from Mom last night. I'm like, yeah, thanks. And she's like, no, really. I heard from Mom, and we were in the kitchen talking, but she wasn't talking to you. I go, no kidding. It was 6 months at that point. Didn't get anything from her. And she goes, but do you know what she told me, Ange? I go, what? She says, Mom told me that you haven't cried yet. Mm-hmm. And my sister didn't know that. And my mother was such a good spiritual teacher, and it was such a validation for me as a griever. And I said, you know what, Mom, you're right. I am celebrating so much that you're on the other side. I'm forgetting to grieve you. And as soon as I started to honor that message from my mom, the signs came.
Right.
So I think mediums, and I see everyone shaking their heads, I don't think we have a magic ticket to the other side. We might just have an understanding of, oh, that's that sign, or that's how they're communicating with us. But I think we're all equally on the same ground when we grieve.
And I know that many of you get information, like you have a scheduled reading with a sitter, and you'll get information well before that the scheduled reading.
Right.
So, but does that come in the form of a dream sometimes, or?
Sometimes I'll get right before, like the night before I have a reading that next morning. Sometimes I'll dream and I just add it in at the end of the reading, and I'll say, oh, and by the way, I dreamt this. And sometimes it's a warning, which is really interesting. I seem to almost get those. You know, I even had one where a woman came to me to tell me something about someone's bank account, or somebody was trying to get into their bank account. And I thought that was really interesting because it was almost as if, oh, you missed this when you were, you know, picking up whatever you needed to pick up from me, but I wanted to add this, so I had to come through that way. So I found that really interesting. And I always say I'm totally open however they want to come through, you know, to get whatever message across they have to. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it's pretty interesting. I like it. But I do like to do it beforehand. I do a lot of writing beforehand.
Right. Well, I know there's a lot of dream research. I mean, history of that. Any type of research about dream visits? It's very hard to come up with some sort of a protocol for that. But
But I remember I was writing a paper at one point about mediumship and dreams, and it's very hard to find any research on the topic at all. You know, there are many things that you can ask. Like, one of the things I would be interested in is seeing what type of symbols, imagery, mediums have in their dreams, not only those dreams that bring direct communication with the deceased, but just dreams about anything, you know, because you find sometimes that people that are highly creative have different manifestation on dreams than those of us that the creativity is kind of in the normal range. And I think mediumship is one of those phenomena that the mind is very flexible, is very open. that mediums probably are using their cognitive resources in a much more efficient way than other people. And I think that's one of the differences between people that show mediumship and those that do not. We all have the things, but some people like creativity, like patience, like all kinds of human, you know, manifestations, we have them more or less than others. But I think that's a complete open field about the dreams of mediums at very different levels.
I think sometimes also, like my sister, for instance, Marion, she doesn't accept the information while she's awake, so they give it to her when she's sleeping. Oh, and a lot of times it's really odd because she'll call me up and go, I had a dream from this particular person, and I dreamt that they came to say goodbye. And then they either pass the next day or within 3 days, or they just pass and the family or the friends have not known about it yet. So that's another area that I like never delve into yet, but I think that's quite interesting that you're saying this about the signs and symbols.
And by the way, you could tell that Dr. Alvarado grew up in Brooklyn just like me. Pretty much the same. I feel like you're my twin, whatever.
I like that.
He was born in Boston, and he frequently would say
that.
My
accent is from Boston. I'm sure you recognize.
Say, park the car.
What's interesting to me is how people interpret things. So there's such an element of fear with a lot of people. You know, like people, especially people that are bereaved, you know, you'll say, well, what will give you proof? You know, and they'll say, well, if I saw my loved one, that would be proof. And yet they may have an experience where they'll see their loved one and they say, it freaked me out. And some people will say they saw a ghost. Another person will say, well, they saw an angel. Another person might say, you know, they had a visit from their loved one. Some might say, I saw a religious figure. It's all based on our individual cultural and societal and religious beliefs, I guess, right? But fear is real. I mean, you see that. Are people fearful of what you do?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm kind of one of a kind when it comes to that, though. If you ask me what I do, I talk to dead people for a living. I kind of like to see what the reactions are from people. But at the same time, it's a fear, I think, of just if they haven't been exposed to it, the fact that, not that they're scared of it so much, is that they don't know how to ask about it. You know, what is it that you do? I don't want to mess with that. Well, if you don't want to mess with it, then you really don't have any of the knowledge about it at all.
Right.
So it kind of gives me this window to go, well, let me tell you, because you know me, so let me tell you a little bit about what it is that I do. If they're comfortable with me, then, you know, sometimes we can take that fear away. But really, it's just them not knowing or having too many different different perspectives from two different society. Well, my mother liked it, but my father didn't, so I just stayed away from it.
Well, I'll tell you
that
something interesting that happened. We were fielding calls about this conference, and, you know, as you saw, there were signs and advertising, you know, all over the place, and we would get a call, and sometimes Fran would take it, sometimes I would take it, and they said, well, I saw a sign. What is the conference about? And we explained, we brought together organizations and scientists that study different phenomena that suggest life after death. And you start talking about near-death experience, and wow, that's great, you know. And you start talking about deathbed visions, and that's really interesting. You start talking about this and that. And then you get to the subject of mediums. And all of a sudden, the phone, there's no voice on the other end. And because, and then the next thing is, well, you realize that that's demonology or you know, and so it's so it's hard for me to comprehend, you know. It's, in other words, it's okay for scientists to give evidence of survival as long as we don't try to communicate with the other side, right? I mean, do you find that as mediums? I mean,
yeah.
I'm sure over the years you've taken some negative comments about the work that you do.
Oh,
I mean, that's
family. Members,
my friend, my born children.
So what is your reaction?
Well, it's zoology.
Yeah. So if somebody says to you, realize that you're doing the work of the devil,
it's funny that you bring that up, Bob, because when my husband and I first met, I mean, I couldn't hide this for very long, and he was raised very Catholic, and initially he was greatly concerned that he said to me, you know, when you're doing these readings and you're talking to the other side, how do you know you're not talking to the devil? And I said, well, I know I'm not talking to the devil because it's people by name and they're sharing information about their family. It's very loving and beautiful. But I think it took them maybe one or two readings where I would, you know, sometimes I'll do a reading and then I'll share, like, some of the beautiful messages that came through or what I just learned or the healing messages. And it was very, very quickly that he just, you know, had this epiphany and he turned to me and he said, this is all about love. This is all about, you know, our loved ones telling us that they're okay and they're still part of our lives. This is beautiful. And I think it was a real growing experience for him. And I think it helped me understand that he had been coming from a very structured kind of thinking. And anything that fell out of that parameter was almost, it caused fear for him, this kind of panicky feeling of the unknown. But if you just sit and have this conversation or share, there's nothing scary about it. It's so beautiful and it's so healing. For me, when I do readings, it's so incredibly healing just to be part of that. I'm always learning from the other side. I'm always, you know, listening to the messages they're sharing about how we should live here and how we should love here and what, you know, how connected we all are to one another. So I think I've had that experience directly in my family, and I'm happy to say it had a very happy ending, you know. Now he's open, and now he's a ghost hunter. He goes and he explores. He's an attorney, but he is also a ghost hunter who explores historical, you know, places and tries. He's very open to it.
I know it looks great on his resume, attorney.
Yeah,
ghost hunter.
Yeah.
Whatever. What
well, it's open when he starts taking cases for them.
Yeah.
You know,
pro bono. Because they're in their house. Get them out of my house.
It's yeah, so that's funny.
All right, we're having too much fun. We have to take another break. When we come back, we have a lot more to talk about, things that go bump in the night and unseen realms of existence. So stay with us. We'll be back in a few.
Starseed Gems Studios in Cocoa, Florida fuses cremation ashes within art glass, making beautiful stones. The ashes are visible in the darkness and resemble a beautiful night sky. Starseed Gems, developed by the parents of a young man who passed away, are set in hand-sculpted silver and gold settings. Prices start at $150. Visit www.starseedgems.com or call 321-632-7770. That's www.starseedgems.com or 321-632-7770.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you could find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Perhaps you have heard that there is scientific evidence of an afterlife, but you are confused. Plan to attend a landmark convention in Durham, North Carolina, November 8th and 9th, and let's clear up that confusion. Let an esteemed group of scientists from prestigious universities and institutions show you the way. This will be a gathering of the top organizations that have been researching afterlife evidence for decades, all coming together for the first time. Whether you want to learn about reincarnation, mediumship, apparitions, deathbed visions, near-death experiences, or phone calls from the dead, this is the place to be. The weekend will also include demonstrations of spirit communication by Forever Family Foundation certified mediums. Click on the events page at our website, foreverfamilyfoundation.org, to learn more about the conference weekend and the many additional events before and after the conference. Or call 631-425-7707 for more information.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Welcome back to Signs of Life Radio. We're broadcasting from Durham, North Carolina. We're having our annual conference and convention. If you're in the area, stop by or go on the website, foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Go to the events page, and we have a lot of events that you can come to, including tomorrow on Friday is a free event. We're going to have exhibitors and talks, so check it out. I'd like to also mention that the sponsor of the conference and tonight's show is Starseed Gems, and you can find them on the web at starseedgems.com. So mediumship, no matter how you cut it, you guys are getting into some altered state of consciousness, whether you are aware of it or not. So I'm curious, has anybody here at this table ever been hypnotized?
Yes.
Yes.
Tried.
I'm with you.
Can't do it.
No. For those who have been hypnotized, have you ever experienced any or tried to experience any psi phenomenon while under the hypnotic state?
No, not for me.
No, so it was just...
No, it was a hypnotized exercise in Arthur Findlay College. And he actually had us learn how to hypnotize someone else and then switch and be the participant. And they showed the difference, how some people have quite a lot of difficulty and some people go right under. And I went right under. But I also fall asleep very fast, and there seems to be a correlation with that as well. So I found it very interesting, actually. But they were very clear to say, like, this is not for entertainment purposes. Like, this is a controlled kind of exercise.
Right. Well, Nancy, in the research, people that are under hypnosis, what's the correlation with psi abilities?
So I'm going to do this because he knows a lot more about, especially with mediums, but in terms of in general, hypnosis as a condition to get people into the frame of mind to do, say, an ESP study, that highly suggestible people do better in these kinds of tests. Mm-hmm. And there was actually a meta-analysis, one of these big old throw all the studies in a pot and see how the whole picture looks like,
right.
That showed that there's a connection there. But in terms of psychic experiences in life or anything like that, I'm not sure.
Mm. Well, there have been some surveys that have given people questionnaires to measure hypnotic susceptibility, you know, how open you are to suggestions. And some people are extremely open, others are completely closed, and most people fall in between. But they found out that psychic phenomena, you know, things like out-of-body experiences, psychic dreams, things like that, happen more often with people that have high scores in the susceptibility questionnaire. But that's not to say that every time that you will be hypnotized, you will be able to produce the phenomena, but that there is a relationship there,
right,
that we also find not only with hypnotic susceptibility, but with other psychological measurements, like the frequency of dream recall, phenomena of dissociation. There are many other psychological constructs that all seem to point out towards a more open mind, cognitively speaking, you know, that your thoughts flow more frequently, that you are much more open in processing your dreams.
Yeah. It's interesting, though, that some of the mediums are able to be hypnotized and some are not. You know,
mm-hmm.
So there's no rhyme or reason. Janet, you had a...
When I came out, I just instantly read the person who put me under. And it was,
oh, really?
It was just really strange because I thought, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. And it was like, you know, oh, no, that was okay. But it was so spontaneous.
Mm-hmm.
That when I was under, I don't remember a whole lot, but I just remember when I came out I just looked directly at the person and just rattled off, you know, for 5 or 10 minutes. And then I felt embarrassed, like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. But it was really unusual for that to happen. I mean, it was really interesting, too.
Yeah.
But so I don't know if that makes me, you know, easier to go under or what. But
some people ask us a lot, that they'll say when we talk about mediumship, they'll say, how come the mediums don't ever tell me what the afterlife is like? You know, and my answer to them seems logical to me, that the primary goal, if you die and you're in this other realm of existence, is to get evidence to your loved one, which is not easy, you know, that you still exist. So although there have been reports for 150 years, these channel reports that give very, very descriptive, long narratives of what it's like. So I guess you would have to be in a trance-like state, or be channeling versus doing mental mediumship to get these descriptions. Does anybody, when you do your work, do the people that you're bringing through ever give you any type of short descriptions of what their life is like in the realm that they exist?
They do share some things that they can do, which makes me, you know, very excited. Like, one thing they say, that anything that they loved experiencing here, they can experience that on the other side. So right away I'm thinking food, my favorite foods I can have when I'm there. They've also shared with me that you really can project yourself as whatever age that they want. Sometimes they'll show me themselves younger and then show me older so that I can describe it to the sitter, and then I can let the sitter know, okay, well now, you know, your dad looks much younger and he's got a little hair back. You know, so they can, sometimes they'll talk about having fun with people on the other side. We've reunited to play, you know, our pinochle game or whatever it is. I feel like anything that we've experienced as joyful here and in this earth realm, they can experience there as well. They also make me feel like there are different levels. It's almost like different rooms sometimes that they...
Somebody asked me that once, and I did wait for an answer, and it came back very parable-like. Somebody, a husband told me for a wife who was still here that he could be the water in the earth, the root of the tree drinking the water. He could be the leaf changing color. He can be the sun shining down on the leaf, and all at the same time he could be sitting next to her on a park bench watching her. Mm-hmm. So there's got to be something to not having the physical and being able to incorporate their energy into anything else that is around us, or that is part of the non-physical, they can kind of link with. That also kind of gave me an aha moment. Well, that's how your bird can be your sign if that bird comes and sits on that window. So then when somebody's crossed over, it can't be that hard for them to link with that energy in some way. I always thought of it as them going, hey, bird, go sit over there and say hi to my loved one for me, like in spirit, they're talking to each other somehow. I have gotten that much. But sometimes, I don't know about you guys, but I don't think they tell us, because we might want to just be there. I think that if I really knew what it was like over there, with as much as I connect with that euphoric energy through communication, that if just what I feel during a reading, physically, emotionally, mentally, is how good that is to take that to the next level. You know, I'm not in a hurry, but I'm not afraid of it because of that.
Do they have, I mean, if it's like here, they could describe it, but what if it's not? I mean, it can't be described in words, in ways we can understand. If it's so different, then it's very hard to describe it, and that means that they can't describe it.
They can't.
Well, what all the near-death experiences, what's the first thing they say? It's ineffable. You can't.
Right, that's
words.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, and everybody has their own individual thought of what they think it's going to be like when they go. So each person has an individual idea, and so when they're on the other side, you could have, you know, 20 billion individual ideas.
You know,
right.
And I find it really interesting because I agree with Rebecca, except they've shown it to me, it's a mirror. So it's really like the same thing. You know, if they say they're here and they can be the tree as beautifully as you put it, if they say it's a mirror, it's almost like they can project themselves into everything that we see, the mirror thing, but they have the opportunity now to show us how to do it right. So they're living our lives in the mirror, but we're going, hey, this is how to do it. Or if it's someone who maybe didn't, I call it, you know, should have had a V8 moment, where they didn't learn the lessons that they couldn't, it's our opportunity as a griever to teach them after they passed. You know, the classic, let's say there was a grandfather figure who drank and couldn't make his way, and he passed not resolving that issue, but there's a grandson who did, that's living. And that grandfather showed me, well, I'm a mirror to you, and I'm living with you, but now I get to take on how you conquered that lesson, or vice versa. So I find it, I think that's true, right, with the mediums. Like, we get the same message, but we see it in a different symbol. You know, she sees it as a beautiful tree, and they said, oh, no, but it's a mirror. So I find that intriguing, that we all receive information. We're like, I always use this, you know, we're a mosaic. You know, I think mediums are mosaic. We add our own thing to it, but it's really a bigger picture that we can't describe.
We all have over our own perceptions of everything in life.
Right,
so
right.
When you're a songwriter or a poet, or
right.
It's still coming through you,
yeah.
As in the living, you know, the living world. So
yeah.
So several mediums at this table have taken part in studies where they were measuring brain ways to sort of brain mapping of mediums, and I know a lot of other researchers want to get into this physiological thing. And so, what do you see as the value of that? What can we learn?
Well, finding neuroscientists like to find the spot where the door opens, essentially. And I was reading not too long ago an experiment that Julie Beischel might talk about that was done in her laboratory, and they found it really interesting that certain parts of the brain would calm down, way down, when it seemed that a real communication was coming through, and another part of the brain would kind of open up. And then in waking state, non-mediumistic communication, it was the opposite. So I think neuroscientists are always looking for that door. Where's that place that the other life crosses over? Where is that moment? You know, how is that working?
Right.
So in terms of solving their curiosity, that's part of the benefit. But then it also kind of, I think it's a way to underlie this thing that Dean Radin always says, is that people think that mind is extruded by the brain, the mind is a product of the brain. And he always says it's like there's a radio, and that's what brain is. And when you fool around with those dials and whatever's happening inside the radio, you're not doing anything to the signal that's coming through.
Right.
So I think it's kind of like some of the neuroscientists are trying to say, okay, yeah, it's radio. So now let's prove that there's an aperture where something is coming in, because we generally, not all of us, but many of us think that this is just the mind is the thing, and the
right.
mind is not made by the brain. And certainly if all of this information is coming in and there's this other life out there, this afterlife, then that's what's real. And we're just filtering through a little bit of it here and there.
I think a lot of people get excited when they hear about these things, because they say, well, if we can, let's say there's one specific area in the brain that acts as a receptor for this non-local mm-hmm. information, and we can identify it, then we all could be mediums, because we could just activate that receptor.
Oh, but the other
yeah.
side would happen, too. You have
yeah.
a whole bunch of people going, okay, shut that down.
Right.
So, it could go either way.
I have a comment.
Yeah.
Well, I think that type of research is important, and it has a place. But I think that sometimes it's used by some individuals in the sense that, oh, finally, hard science. Now we can show that mediumship is real.
Right.
But I think, you know, we know mediumship is real, and what mediums say and all other sources of evidence are already saying that. But that's more valuable, I think, for people that focus on exact hard measurement.
Right.
So that's, I think, one side.
Mm-hmm. Right.
On the other hand, you can also argue that ESP mediumship needs to manifest through the nervous system. It's not the nervous system, at least we don't believe it is, but these type of measurements may be helpful to find more detail about how the thing is working. How does a spirit communicate through a medium? We have a lot of information on the subjective experience, but we don't know what parts of the nervous system are affected.
Right.
It could be that we will find that it's not a particular region, that is a lot of, you know, regions, but we know so little about that. The same applies to creativity, to mental illness, to, you know, people have great hopes for all these measurements. But up to now, what we have are some only, you know, that this part of the brain looks yellow when they do an MRI. And that may mean that there is higher temperature or lower or something happening.
Parts of the brain lighting up, working with method actors to duplicate emotions
right,
that are not even real.
Right, exactly. And then it's like,
you can't have a subject in your lab to say, well, get angry. You have to measure your real anger. And you can't do that because it doesn't work with people.
We can measure the exhaustion we have after reading sometimes. Mm-hmm. I mean,
they might find someday that the key to the reception of your information is not your brain, but your heart.
Yeah.
You know, so your heart is a...
Or in that secondary brain, the other place where you have your gut, where the... You know,
right.
Largest connection.
Funny you saying that because I was speaking with another medium, Kim, and we were talking about how a lot of mediums that have been doing this for a long time are all getting like all these illnesses now through like people are having cancers and heart attacks and just all of these things from channeling for so long. So it's interesting you talk about the nervous system and all that.
Well, that's what happened to Edgar Cayce. I mean, on some level,
he worked himself out.
He worked himself out to the point where he was a healer. And
well, they told him at one point apparently, and we were at around ARE for a couple of years, so we heard a lot about Edgar Cayce. And they were saying at one point his doctor told him one reading a day, and that is it. And he said, "I can't do it. I have bags of mail. I can't do it." And he would do sometimes 10, 15, 20 in a day.
Yeah, and I think that's the balance that we try to strike as mediums. You know, I mean, I'm sure, you know, you have colleagues that you connect to. Like, I go to lunch with one colleague, and God bless her, she's always saying, "Oh, I see an angel around you, this purple around you, there's this." And I go, "Do you ever pay your bills? Back down to earth." You know, take a moment to breathe in your physical space to protect. I'm afraid to be open all the time because of that. You know, I don't want to wear myself out.
You know, the Irish medium that founded the Parapsychology Foundation, she was trained by at the British, what was it, the British College of Psychic Sciences in London, and as she learned how to do these things, she once had one of those sort of Alison Dubois moments where she woke up at night and there was a crowd of people at the end of the bed, and she just said, "Listen, I work from 9 to 5.
Yep.
You can come to the office, but leave me alone."
That's
that.
What I did.
Yeah. And then she had that wonderful quote where she was very interested in her own process, and sometimes she wasn't really sure that she was contacting, because she was a trans medium too, so she didn't have a lot of direct, you know, content with her own experience. And it's a famous quote, and I'm going to ruin it, but it's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I think I'm a medium, and there's an afterlife, and Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, I don't know, and Sunday, I don't give a damn.
I want to thank everybody for joining us this evening, and Fran's got some closing comments.
Okay, now we're going to ask everybody here, as we also ask our listeners, to join us in our Healing Energy Circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from all participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind, as we visualize the healing light upon Tracy Bray, Donna Mello, Kimberly Saavedra, Regis Gandarian, Jeanette Davies, Miriam Pierzga, Julie Beischel, Barbara Patillo, Ann Hutchinson, David Hayes, Rita Springer, Mark Barron, Vicki Steffi, Jean Lash, Tracy Lee Nash, Eddie Roll, James Rafferty, Arthur and Bernice Goforth, Andrea, Richard Bryan, Karen, David Mello, Henry Stark, Johnny Jackson, Andy O'Brien, Tanya Cash, Stanley Newman, Glenna Irwin, Lynn Austin, Michael Tim, Patty Potter, Eileen Lafada, Wendy Lippo, Barbara Russell, Tim Donahue, Tom Donahue, Doug Barry, and Philip McGee. Now let us, as one consciousness, give our energy of loving thought by praying like this: to love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And now it's time to say...
Our loved ones are only a heartbeat away,
and science is only to prove it.
Good night, everyone.